My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners, kind of Cybertruck owners, share their experiences as well as talk about all things EVs. That's where we're at with it, and also technology. I tease that and I say that because Chase has two new babies.
One baby is new. The other one's still, he's like 2 and a half, so he's seasoned.
You have a
new, oh, I see, a what newborn. You, I see what you're, oh, I see.
Went right over his head.
Yeah.
He has a newborn baby, right? So congratulations, yeah. Chase.
Thank you.
And then he took delivery of another baby earlier today. You want to talk about both babies?
Yeah. I put a picture up on X. We ended up trading in the Rivian R1S for a Ford Lightning Platinum Edition. This is a 2022. So, yeah. I've been kind of running the idea of trading in for the Lightning, mainly because there's a few things I miss about having a truck. And then just certain things that were kind of like weighing on me of like capabilities I wish the Rivian had that I know the Lightning does. And a couple things that the Lightning has that the Cybertruck did. So yeah, there we go. Get a nice little midnight blue. And yeah, basically today I drove up to Dallas from Austin and then did the deal and then drove straight back. So literally I got in maybe about 20 minutes ago. So
number one, we appreciate you being dedicated and coming on to the podcast, driving 3 hours. But I want to know all about it. I mean, you have, what trim level is it? What are your plans with it? I see that it has some massive wheels on there. What's the plan with this? I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah, this is the Platinum. So this is actually what they rolled out on stage, minus the color, when they first like announced it back in 2021.
Okay.
It literally has everything in it. So that's the kind of the exciting thing.
Top of the line.
Yeah, and the fact that it's, you know, almost 3 years old now and it's got 67,000 miles on it, that's where I was able to get like a great price. It came in under 50,000. So
wow,
I'm nice. Super happy with that.
Wow. So top of the line Ford Lightning, mileage really doesn't matter at this point with the EVs.
Totally.
You got it sub $50,000. I mean, that's, I think, what everybody's waiting for. Fast forward 3 years from now with the Cybertruck, right?
100%.
So yeah. That's amazing.
I figure that's what it will do. You know, fast forward a couple of years, we'll trade this out and get a Cybertruck at that same price. And that's kind of the goal.
So you had the Rivian R1S, and I know you really enjoyed that. So this was you wanted a truck because you had an F-150 before the Cybertruck. Then you got the Cybertruck. So you kind of always, you've had the trucks and now you missed it.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily like, it's not like I haul a bunch of stuff. I know you use your truck for work a lot, but it's the thing where when you don't have it, then you want it the most. So it's like, If I wanted to go pick up a couch, I couldn't, you know, in the Rivian.
Yeah.
Or we've got kayaks in the garage that it would be a little bit more complicated. I would have to get, you know, their, you know, I think $250 rack plus, you know, another couple hundred bucks for like the kayak holders and that kind of stuff. So, which I can just toss this in the bed of having kayaks to go. So there's a couple things that we're waiting. And then one of the biggest ones, honestly, is the power out. That's a huge win that we had with the Cybertruck, but we also have with the Lightning. So the Lightning's power cable is basically dual, two-way. And then if you get their equipment to hook up to the house, then you can then power the house off of that. But now there's controversy with that because it is expensive. It could be anywhere from like $7,000 to $15,000 to get their stuff set up. That's after like labor and all that shit. So there is,
I hate everything you just,
I know. It's not an end-all be-all. That's not like the big solution, but it does have a 240 volt outlet in the bed of the truck. So that I can then use generator cable and then put a switch in the house for a couple grand and then have power backup to the house.
And then the Ford Lightning, if memory serves me right, it has power in the front, right? Like you could plug something in the front. See, yes. I love that.
Which I don't know why the Cybertruck didn't. Like, that's such an easy win. It's got, I believe, four 120 volt outlets in the frunk.
Wow.
Frunk's really big. It's bigger, obviously, than the Cybertruck one because it's deeper. And they also have like an under tray that has a drain, so you can make it into a like little mini cooler if you wanted to. So that's some cool features that we had in the Cybertruck that I'm excited to have back.
Spare tire, right?
Yep, spare tire under spare tire.
Yeah. Question. When are you jumping it?
Fortunately, the suspension is just a stock, you know, F-150 suspension. So I'd have to swap it out.
And he jumps it every time he gets near a speed bump. Oh god!
There's no air suspension on this one.
No, that's kind of like the big trade off, I guess, with the Lightning versus like the CT. No rear ride suspension, although they have, you know, step rails, so you can step in easier. My wife's definitely appreciative of that. Yeah, it's basically it is an F-150, just swapped everything out. And here's the thing, is that if, for people that have been listening along, like, you understand how I did test drive an F-150 or the F-150 Lightning in the past, and I really wasn't impressed. And what we did test drive was the XLT, which is a couple of trims down from what this is. And honestly, I think that's a huge difference, because what you get with the Lariat and above is a big difference in quality. You get the bigger full screen as opposed to like a really small one. The moonroof is an option. Like, all those things really add up and make it feel like more open. Like the moonroof in particular, because I didn't realize how claustrophobic F-150 can feel with that just kind of closed off. And there was actually another one that I was looking at that was a Lariat that didn't have the moonroof. And that was a deal breaker for me.
So the Cybertruck and Rivian have spoiled you in that regard, giving you that airy feel.
Having the moonroof, yeah, it's a big difference. It makes it feel a lot more open. And yeah, it was long 3 hours, but I've got some opinions of the good and the bad.
Well, I mean, let's get into it, if you don't mind. Let's get into it. So you drove 3 hours with the Lightning. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, tell us, what did you like about it? What did you not like about it? What are your thoughts after a 3 hour drive?
Well, I don't recommend going straight into Dallas traffic from the dealership. That's a bad idea.
I don't think I'll have that problem.
It's insane. But yeah, right off the bat, honestly, like, a lot of the clunkiness that I felt at first was just kind of learning the UI, because it's like going from Apple to Android is completely different. Like, one little thing, it's like, usually Rivian and Tesla will show you like the miles you'll get to your destination. But in this, it actually shows you miles you have left to get to your destination. So I thought at first, I was like, wait a minute, I'm losing range. What's going on? It's like the number kept going down. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. So it's just little things like that, is just the usability difference. But I think what they're doing on purpose and doing well is they're trying to make it feel like all the F-150s do, just to make it easier for, you know, non-electric vehicle owners to get into an EV this way. Yeah, the UI definitely took some getting used to, but the navigation has some things to be desired. Like, I can't just, you know, tap the screen and like type in to search for something while you're driving. I mean, like, we're all adults here. Like, don't force me to like pull over just to like change the navigation. I have to use the speech to change the navigation if I want something specific that doesn't come up in the search. Because they give you like general searches, like charging stations and restaurants and things. And if it's not on the list and it's not within like 50 miles, it's not going to show up. So that's one other thing. Blue Cruise. So that's kind of their big kind of claim to fame, you know, FSD and, you know, the lane change stuff, all that. Like, it's interesting, but I wouldn't put it as something that could replace both the Driver Plus from Rivian and then FSD from Tesla. Like, it's kind of like glorified cruise control. I guess it does steer and everything, but it's like only if it actually is available in a way. Like, you can activate it and then it takes like a second to like look at through the cameras and make sure that it can see the lanes, and then it'll activate on its own.
So there's like a delay.
Yeah, it's not quite there. It's like, if it feels like it, it'll kick into Blue Cruise, but if not, it'll be like, no, you can't do Blue Cruise right now.
Interesting.
So
I'm muted. I'm whole ass like talking here. Hang on. Sorry, guys.
Go for it.
I was coughing. I thought I caught one through. But yeah, the Blue Cruise, like, honestly, you know, after seeing all the hullabaloo over it last summer before, mm-hmm. Before the cyber cab thing, I remember, was it Jerry Rig on YouTube and Twitter, he was making a whole big deal about how, I mean, he obviously had some sort of a deal going for a short period with Ford, but he's talking up the Blue Cruise being like, you know, it's years better. And why is it? It's level three autonomy and blah, blah, blah. And like having driven the Mach-E, I was like, okay, let's see what the Blue Cruise is like. I've been sitting on it. I've been waiting. Yeah. You thought we were good. No. When I drove the Mach-E with the Blue Cruise, I was just kind of like, the only reason this is level three is because you don't have to keep your hands on it. That's not the source of the nag.
Right.
It has the eye detectors to make sure you're looking forward and it can see your eyes and everything. Otherwise, it just yells at you and it says, you know, pay attention to the road or else I'm turning this off or something like that. So it's level three in the sense that it's like a really, really strict driver as opposed to level two, which is, you know, what FSD and Rivian are. The Driver Plus, they're very capable of navigating and handling themselves. You know, Rivian's, I think, supposed to have level three, I think, by next year. And I think they're just going to do the same thing, a cabin camera to make sure that the driver's eyes are facing forward.
But, yeah, that's kind of what it does. Like, I could tell it was just tracking my eyes with that little camera, because there was times that I would actually look at some things that are in the cab, like, but I would just be looking at a hard angle where it wouldn't see my eyes and it would start yelling at me. But I mean, I will say for the most part, I maybe used Blue Cruise for like 30% of the drive. You know, it really wasn't like the main go-to. If anything, I just kept it on cruise control and lane assist. That was kind of nice.
But it does help with driver fatigue, right? It's still there to assist you and help you out with that. For everybody that's maybe joined us a little bit late, just want to let everybody know, I have it up on the screen that Chase took delivery today of a Ford Lightning, and so that's what we're discussing. Jay's in chat, so hey Jay, how's it going? Thank you for joining us. Bill and Hugo are in chat. Hugo, I'm gonna call you out. I don't think you were here last week. I'm not sure, but welcome back. Thank you for joining us. So those are, I think you kind of listed mostly things that you don't like so much, right?
Stuff that I do. Like I said, the moonroof, I like you said, I kind of was spoiled with the Cybertruck and the Rivian of like how open it is. So like definitely when I was looking at Lightnings, I had to kind of like pick and choose of like what are features that are like a game breaker for me. And that moonroof was one of them, as well as this is something good to know. If you're in the market for a Lightning, the 240 volt outlet in the bed is actually an add-on option now for 23 and above. So
really?
I found this out along the way, the hard way, because I was looking at different ones, but I would notice in the bed, they didn't have the, you know, 240 volt. So yeah, there's a Rivian we traded in. That actually is an add-on, except for in 22, the Lariats, they came standard with that extra outlet. So that's the one thing that I kind of kept an eye on, because that one is one of the big things that, you know, I really liked about this truck is being able to have backup power to the house. Otherwise, honestly, I just like it because it feels exactly like my old truck did. So
it's very familiar to you.
Yeah. Since this is the Platinum, it has the updated interior. Honestly, I was looking at the Lariats because even the Lariat interior is premium. So I can't be mad at that.
Let me ask you about that, because one thing I really, really love, and I haven't spent a lot of time with the Rivian, but I've sat in one, I've driven one, very short, brief drive, but I do like the plushness and the sophistication and luxury of a Rivian. How does the Ford Lightning Platinum compare to a Rivian?
It's very comparable, I would say, like very, very similar in a way, because they have like the, you know, the wood accents and things. Now, granted, it's not something you can customize like you can get with Rivian. This is like Rivian, you can pick the outside color and the inside color as like accents. But I mean, I would say it's at that same level. Like it's got, you know, leather built into the console and different things. So definitely feels high end. The fact of it's the Platinum, it has everything added into it. But honestly, like I said, I was looking at the Lariats because the Lariats also has like leather seats and the upgraded interior. I think the only big difference between the interior and the Lariats versus the Platinum is like the seats are a little bit different. They have some like like placards for Platinum kind of sewn in at certain parts. So
okay.
Yeah, I like it. Frunk is really nice. Having power in the frunk, I think, is something the Cybertruck should have had. That's a great feature.
Well, Bill in chat actually asked, he says, Chase, huge frunk, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, you could lay in the Cybertruck, but I think you could put two people in the yeah. in the Lightning.
I remember the first time I seen the frunk of a Lightning at a show, and they had, you know, the hood open. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, what the heck is this? Mm-hmm. This thing's massive, you know? So anybody that watches my videos, whenever I talk about the frunk on the Cybertruck, I love the fact that it's a usable frunk because there's mm-hmm. an exterior button, but it just... smaller than I would want it to be. I just because others that are competing against pretty much every truck that's competing against the Cybertruck mm-hmm. has a larger frunk. So it's just kind of yeah. one of those things. They're like, why do they have that and I don't? You know, so it just turns into that.
Honestly, that's one thing the Rivian should have done a little bit bigger, because it is kind of like it's like inset and it's not yeah. coming out flat. So that's yeah. one thing they could have. I feel like they could have made that frunk a little bit bigger.
I think that we should start figuring out what to do with the frunk, because I think mm-hmm. that people own EVs and they forget that they have frunks. Like, I've gone through a couple of Teslas and I never found a functional day-to-day need to go in and out of the frunk. And I've met so many other EV owners who are just like, yeah, I just forget it's there sometimes, you know? It's like, or I just, mm-hmm. I keep emergency equipment, not a spare tire, but right. like I keep, you know, jumper cables just in case somebody else needs it. I keep a you know, tire iron and a jack if you need it or whatever. And it's like, there's got to be something else that we can be doing with that space. Like, what can we brainstorm up to put up there? I suggest a washing machine, because I think
you just went all the way there.
I think a washing machine, and people would be like, oh, hang on a second. That's I like that. That's interesting. Because now you're driving your road trips, and in between charging spots, you're swapping laundry from wash to dry, and then bring the dryer stuff inside. I think somebody, and I think it needs to be something the size of Chase's Lightning. So it's like, yeah, start taking dimensions. We need to figure out the first EV washing machine, wash dry in the front. You know, people who road trip would be into it, people overland, people okay, like having that ability right there. Like, yeah, I know everybody's joking, everybody's laughing at first, but Eric's like, no, actually, bro, actually, let me
I would 100% use that. Yeah. I laughed just because it was, when you said it, I wasn't expecting you to say that, but then as you're talking, I'm like, no, I would 100% like, use that. Yeah, I would actually use that. Well, so for me, look, now that we're having this discussion, you're 100% right. In my frunk, I use my frunk all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I do too. I keep gym stuff up there. I keep changes of clothes. I constantly, because it's aerated, but you can still dry it out. And you can still usually drain it. Huge yep. use. I use it all the time.
And every Tesla I had previously, I didn't really use them. And I always attribute that to the fact that the Cybertruck has that exterior button. It's so much easier. I don't need to pull out yep. my phone. I don't need to yep. go inside. I just can walk up. And now, I mean, as long as the phone is in my pocket, it'll open, right? Mm-hmm. But for me,
a powered frunk.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, earlier Teslas didn't have the powered frunk option.
But right. because of the size and lack of power in the Cybertruck, what I have in mind are some tools. Air compressor, because once again, another gripe of mine, doesn't have yeah. a built-in air compressor in the bed. But I have a small little air compressor. I have some tools and I have some recovery, you know, ropes and things like that. And then I'll keep like a what do they call it? The chairs that you put up when you go camping or you go to a baseball game for your kid or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just the little camp chairs. I keep that. And so that's where I'm accessing that chair all the time. But I will say this. If I had a Lightning or if I had a Chevy or I think even the Hummer, they have power in the frunk. Mm-hmm. I have a Iceco fridge back of my Cybertruck. I would actually put that in the frunk. Mm-hmm. Because my problem is, like Chase alluded to, that I'm constantly putting stuff in the bed of my truck at work, and I'm having to take my fridge in and out. Mm-hmm. So now I would just leave it in the frunk, always plugged in, and then now my bed is fully accessible to do whatever I need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The frunk is super functional for me. I use it all the time.
Yeah, but you think about it, it's like it doesn't need to have that in-out capability of a trunk. It's like, yeah, so you could do something that's a little bit more long-term on it. I like this washer-dryer idea. I really do.
Patent it. Run with that idea.
Well, I mean, it's a washer-dryer. Where you put it, it's kind of hard to claim a unique patent on it. But I'm sure whoever makes it, they'll probably notice there's a pretty good – I mean, I'm just thinking from the side of, you know, people who – you know, you go to work. You're alone. You live alone. You work all day. You got to do your laundry at night, or just go out to the parking lot and swap your load. I mean
I mean, what was it last week? Tess Latino was in our chat again, and you know, mm-hmm. he was talking about, I think, living in his Cybertruck for 9 months.
Yeah.
6 months, something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, ask him. I guarantee you he'd sit there and say, if there was a washer and dryer that I could put in my frunk, he would 100% do it. I'm sure. So, yeah, 100%.
I did find one at Best Buy that's a mini, 5-pound yeah, portable thing, mini.
Yeah, but it only has 2 stars, and it's only 1 review. Like, and it's only the wash.
He knows all about
like, you
it.
Need, you, go, no, he sent me the link in the group. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I looked at it. But I was like, yeah, but I'm just imagining, you know, it's like a just a simple, like, vertical load barrel on the mm-hmm. right-hand side. You know, you provide it with a reservoir of water, and it uses as little as possible. And mm-hmm. then on the left-hand side, literally just, you know, an old-style dryer that, you know, fluffs it or whatever.
And because the specifically in the Lightning, the under, like, cooler area has a drain plug already. So you just mm-hmm. you spill the tube into the
exactly,
cooler.
Exactly, yeah.
And it just already drains as it go. Like, you just be peeing down the highway, but at least it works.
I'm not hating this idea.
Eric's really already like, dude, take my money. We just let's make it. All right.
I would 100%.
So selling me on a reason.
Getting back to the Lightning, were there anything else that you want to touch on as far as likes, dislikes after 3 hours of driving it? Or do you want to wrap up the Lightning?
As like, honestly, I just like the fact that like it comes loaded. Stereo system's great. I know, Will, you mentioned some things on the Mach-E, but it still has that same like physical knob, and there's some buttons that I'm like, there's some buttons I'm wondering about, but I do kind of like having, you know, the physical touch of like, I just need to like turn down the volume really fast. The fact of like the Lariat and Platinum, they both have that bigger screen. So like if you're parked, you can pull up YouTube and watch videos and do all the stuff that you normally would have for Teslas and the Cybertruck as well. But yeah, I'm happy with it. Honestly, the big plus obviously is the price, getting it below 50K. Used mm-hmm. now is huge, because like when this was new, it was well over 80.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is that what you had a Rivian R1S, it's not the truck, but it was the Rivian. You've had a Cybertruck. What made you choose not getting a Rivian R1T, not getting another Cybertruck? Mm-hmm. And did you even explore the Silverado or the GMC Sierra?
I kind of entertained it in my head, but I didn't look too hard for the GMC. Well, so the GMC is too new. There's no way I'm going to get, you know, a used one in that kind of price point. Silverado is kind of in that same boat. Still too new to really find, you know, used one in that price point. R1T, it's not a full-size truck, because I did test drive one when we sold the Cybertruck. I love the R1T. It's great. But if it was a full-size truck, then it's sold. But yeah, it really just comes down to like cost, capability, and what you get out of it.
You wanted a full-size truck at a reasonable price, which
mm-hmm. as an EV,
I 100%. I'm right there with you. I don't blame you for that at all. I mean, I think everybody wants that, right? Everybody's waiting for that day of getting a $50,000 fully loaded EV full-size truck. That'll and I'm sure that day's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be a Cybertruck eventually, but It'll depend on how much I love having power in the frunk. But well, I think the off-road capability would sway me away anyways. So
that's the thing. And I think that's the same boat with the GMC and the Silverado. I don't mm-hmm. think they're going to have anywhere near the off-road capabilities as a Cybertruck or a Rivian. But, you know, maybe that's what makes them unique, is that they're just totally different types of vehicles, which is just fine, you know?
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if you caught up on the podcast last week. We were talking about all of the incentives, all of the things that Tesla is doing right now with the Cybertruck, discounting them and mm-hmm. making them more affordable than ever. Something that just got released today as well is the fact that the Cybertruck is having a lot of discounts right now. They just try mm-hmm. to pull it up, but they just slashed some of the pricing on their inventory. And the reason for that is they want to try to get rid of the 2024 inventory. This is something that's near me right now at $70,000, you know, $70,490. They price adjustment of $4,000. So that's something that they're doing right now. They're slashing the prices. They're trying to get rid of the 2024 inventory. So it just, once again, just another mm-hmm. incentive for those that are looking. I know last week, Will and I were playing with the calculator, even though I was fumbling around with it a little bit. But if you look right here, mm-hmm. if you give them $7,500 down, let's look at the taxes and all that, which is going to be a lot more than $7,500.
Mm-hmm.
But you're at sub $700 a month for this,
mm-hmm.
for this Cybertruck. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm not too interested in giving $7,500 yeah. down. So let's go to zero down, and you're still at $919 a month.
Exactly.
That's not bad. You know, when you're considering mm-hmm. what you're getting, I mean, it's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong, but still, I mean, it's getting it attractive. They're really pushing, you know, giving some good discounts on mm-hmm. Cybertruck, really trying to move these things. And I think it's, you know, it's great for anybody that's looking, mm-hmm. that's wanting to buy one.
Yeah. I had to consider getting into a lease, but the bit of negative equity we have on the Rivian, I don't think would have worked out in our favor. We still would have had to, even if we did zero down, we still would have been money out of pocket anyways. It was easier for us to go from a trade-in to another vehicle.
Now, let me ask you this. You brought that up. Mm-hmm. And I think I posted a little while ago the picture or your post on X of you've had three vehicles in a year span.
Taxes is going to be interesting.
I was going to say, is that typical in the Chase household? Are you guys typically getting cars every 3-4 months? Or is this mm-hmm. just a unique situation right now?
It's usually, yeah, it's very unique. I mean, before the Cybertruck, we had the Model 3, but only for about a year. And then before that, I was my F-150. So F-150 I had for like 6 years. So definitely not a usual thing. But if anything, you look at it, I went from $100,000 Cybertruck to $75,000 Rivian, now to a $50,000 Lightning. Stair-stepping down, it's a more comfortable range. So I'm happy with that.
Wanted to talk about some other cool things that
have been... One last thing, because initially, so when me and a business partner of mine, we were looking to sell the Cybertruck, that did come up of like, all right, because we were looking at Lightnings at one point. But when we talked to the Ford dealerships around town at that time, they didn't want to touch the Cybertruck with a 10-foot pole. So that did come into a factor, because like we could have just went from straight to a Cybertruck to a Lightning, but a lot of dealerships didn't want to even touch it. They're like, our managers won't even give you an offer. Kind of painted us into a corner there, but
yeah, they're kind of, you know, your options are very limited at that point. Not sure if I mentioned, yeah, I mentioned it earlier. Hugo's in chat, Bill, Jay, LJ's in chat. So how you doing, LJ? Appreciate you joining us. We were talking about pricing, and something that I came across today too, it was the fact that the Rivian's right now doing some lease specials, as low as $599 a month. Once again, it turns into one of those things where they throw that number out. You look at it and you're like, wow, that's amazing. I'm going to go buy one. And then when you really dive into the numbers, I think for this, it's like $11,000 down you need to give them. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. pretty, that's a pretty penny to put down on a vehicle. But, once again, if someone's looking for a Rivian, they're doing some specials right now on their leasing. So, mm-hmm. You know, check those out.
And we even talked right before the new year about a leasing deal with the Ford Lightnings as well. They were like super cheap, even with zero down, they were like in the threads. But I did talk to one of the dealers, and they're basically saying that like the online numbers are not the same as you can get in dealership. Like they're just basically just to get you in the door. So that wouldn't have worked out either way. But yeah, leasing was an option that I was looking at for maybe the Cybertruck, but it's like still the fact that it's a lease, would be a lot more money down. Just wasn't worth it.
Yeah, I remember watching a video a few weeks ago about some guy walking into GMC dealerships with that promotion that I'm sure everybody sees with the Hummer. It's like $850 a month. And he was walking in with the piece of paper that he printed that ad. And he's walking into dealerships going, is this real? Can I get a Hummer for $850 a month? Because if I can, I'll buy one right now. Mm. And I think he went to two or three dealerships and they all told him, it's real, but you won't find a trim level on the lot that'll give you that price. So, but if we had one here, yes, you can get it for that price, but we don't have one here. So,
won't refill inventory on the specific model so that they don't have to honor that necessarily.
Exactly.
Or some action.
So that's, you know, that's something that people have always complained about with car dealerships, right? The bait and switch type of situation. Yeah, that's an unfortunate thing, because they do push out those lease specials, and then when you get there, you're paying, you know, nowhere near that. So yeah,
I did, at one point I did want to like go down the route of like seeing what Tesla would give me as a trade-in just for the funsies, but I doubt that they would give me anything that would be make it worth it.
Yeah, Tesla's been notorious for lowballing offers on your vehicles.
Especially a competitor.
Yeah, 100%. Something that I don't know if you guys received these, considering that you guys had Cybertrucks, but PSA for anybody that's watching or listening that I'm sure you guys all got, if you own a Cybertruck, you got the email, but Tesla's giving away Cyber Wheel Caps. And they're free. You just log in to your account and you can order them. And I already ordered mine and they already shipped them. So it's something I think in the email they're apologizing for the delay on the hubcaps. And they're just saying, hey, we're providing these right now. So I don't know what that means. Is this because you can't use these with the aero covers? So. Right. Is this them kind of just getting away from the aero covers, or are they just trying to buy themselves some extra time? I don't know what their exact game plan is here, because I don't know why you would offer these if you're planning on giving people the aero covers. So,
yeah, it sounds like they're buying some time.
That's what it sounds like to me. It's a little interesting.
It's an interesting design too, because it looks familiar of one that was going around. Of people that were 3D printing their own.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of third parties that are that have been making something similar to this. But these are just, you know, Tesla branded. So, you know, for anybody that has a Cybertruck and is listening or watching us, you know, definitely go check your emails or go online onto Tesla.com and try to search for the Cyber Wheel Cap Kit. And you can put them in your cart, order them. And once again, they're free. Shipping's free. Everything's free. So just wanted to throw that out there for anybody that didn't know. So now you know. Also, big thing that we were talking about offline was the fact that Rivian sent out an email as well this week. And they sent this email to me that says something's shifting on the horizon. And it says Mirage takes shape February 19th. So this is what is this, Will? What are we looking at? What's going on here?
I mean, nobody seems to have confirmed it anywhere, but I think the, one of the leading rumors that I thought was most believable and everybody seems to have jumped on is a quad motor models of R1, or at least the R1T, because that the photo, I mean, I see dunes in the background and the profile of the photo looks like they're looking through the gear tunnel. So I think that, you know, they're just eluding something with the truck, and everybody was kind of been waiting for them to have a quad motor option. So, you know, this could be the announcement for it or the opening of orders for it. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's what's going on here, right? I'm trying to pull up their website as we speak. Let me go ahead and get that up here. So when you go to Rivian.com, you know, they have the dual motor, right? Or the dual standard, I should say. That's the $599 month promotion that they're doing. Just R1T dual right here, the tri-motor, and then the quad motor, and it says coming 2025. That would just I think it's safe to assume that February 19th, which is next week, would be the introduction and unveiling and release, I guess you could say, of the quad motor.
Tesla's announcement style has always been very, very showy, and it's helped them to be successful. Rivian is very, very conservative with these sort of things. So it's not like they're not going to come out and be like, hey, we have an Optimus robot too. You know, like it's going to be something that's just, yep, it's the quad motor. It's literally already on the website, but we'll actually have one to show you or have enhanced specs to show you or something.
I'm curious to know to see what the range is going to be and what the price is going to be. I mean, because if you look over here at the tri-motor, I mean, you're at just $100 shy of $100,000. Quad motor, what is that going to be? And also, what's the range going to be? That's going to be very interesting to see what they're able to do there. And then how fast is it going to be? I mean, if you're looking over here at the tri-motor, I mean, it's 2.9 seconds. I mean, yeah, this is 1,025 horsepower. I mean, you see the huge jump between the tri-motor, I mean, and the dual, 665, almost 200 horsepower more. And then you're getting same thing, almost 200 horsepower more with the quad motor. So
yeah,
what is that going to do to the speed and capabilities? And
it says right there, 2.3 seconds 0 to 60.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. I did miss that. I apologize. Yeah. But yeah, that's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. Something that I saw as well on Rivian that I kind of got excited about, because I'm just kind of thinking of all the people that will take advantage of it, is if you go over here to fleet, Rivian now is selling their vans.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which I think is pretty cool. Now, it says fleet. I'm not sure if they're
somebody double-checked it already. You can order just one. You don't need to order five or more to qualify or something like that. It's not like
perfect
fleet pricing. You can literally order just one or 100.
And an individual can order it. Not, it doesn't need to be a business.
Correct.
Okay. Ooh. So that's where I get excited about it. I think some of these van life people, you know, that, mm-hmm, that,
oh, I can't wait to see what they do with this thing. I can't wait. Yeah. I'm hoping that they get their hands on one. Yeah. I'm like imagining like the most like luxurious van that you can live in, mm-hmm, like, you know, forget Will Smith's RV. Like, this is, you know, this would be the jam.
Yeah. But
here's the kicker. Does it have, I mean, I would assume it has some power in the back, but how much power does it have in the back? Because really it's meant for cargo, not necessarily.
It is, but that's what these van conversions, a lot of these guys do. They
start my order. Let's put in an order. Let's see what it offers us.
Uh-oh.
Start a fleet order. Yeah, the range is kind of
a bit
down. And then I think that there's two models, and basically they're within 20 or 30 miles of each other's range. So I think it's like 150 and 161 or something. Yeah, it's the 500 and the 700.
Yeah,
but so it's not like 500 miles or 700 miles.
No, the 700 just looks like it has a longer wheelbase. It's a larger vehicle. So let's go ahead and select that. Okay,
shelving and floor upfit options will be available, mm-hmm, from factory.
Doesn't really give us what is
digital
this?
Integrations. Real-time telematics, driver insights, analytics. Yeah, but if you're buying it for yourself, you probably wouldn't give a crap about that.
No, mm-hmm, that's for real fleet.
Yeah.
That's for Amazon. Amazon wants
that. So this looks like they set it up with the mindset of being like, mm-hmm, we want delivery companies to be looking at buying this. I would imagine that would kind of help them with limit the reservation rodeo that can happen when suddenly – they show these are available, and then every van life dude on YouTube who's, mm-hmm, got, you know, they just all order these in spam, and then it's like, oh god, we've got a million pre-orders for this thing. We weren't prepared to try and make those that many.
Yeah, I think that's going to be someone's going to do it, right?
Oh,
someone's going to buy it, and they're going to convert it to live in it. And that's going to be, I'll watch that YouTube video. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm a
now.
Nerd, so I want to go there so I can click on that 2025 spec sheet and operating guide. I want to see what that says, but you don't have to put it on the big screen though.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see.
Wow. Just nerd crap.
I'm trying to see what they
fleet order. Yeah. 2025 spec sheet. Let's see what's exciting in here.
I didn't realize some of these are so expensive. There's like a 21 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that's been tricked out as a van that's going for $300,000.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's
they're really clever. The people who do them, there's a couple of channels, mm-hmm, where you can go and watch people build them, you know, custom build them, order, and what they do really, really, really makes them, in my opinion, very luxurious. I mean, you know, mm-hmm, they're not like, you know, marble flooring or anything too fancy, but they are clever and they are brilliant the way that they're laid out. Usually, like, the bed is in a place where you move it, and now suddenly you have a full, like, basically a booth style table you can sit, mm-hmm, at, and you know, they have water on board, they have all the different, you know, stuff. It's just really, really incredible how they've built them out.
No, those vans are, I mean, you're 100% right. There's some people that, I mean, they make those things really fancy.
I live in LA, making homeless cool.
I think it started in Cupertino, actually. Right? All the Facebook engineers who are like, we live in our car, the food's free, you mm-hmm. know, whatever.
Yeah. You just park next to a good food truck and you're set.
Yeah,
amen. There you go. You're going to make me go get some food right now. I wanted to show something because when they unveiled the CyberCab, you know, part of the unveiling and part of the conversation was the fact that you'd be able to use this as as like a side hustle type of situation, right? You can have the CyberCab go out and it can do rides for you and make you some passive income. And the question that we kind of had, and we were maybe not a question that we had, but some part of the discussion was, how are you going to clean this thing? And, you know, they talked about having some hubs and that type of stuff to the CyberCab could go to after a drive, after a ride, I should say, and it could get cleaned up. Well, Tesla put out a video that kind of shows this. And so I want to share that real quick.
Yeah, the robotic arms.
Yeah, how the CyberCab pulls up. They show it's a mess. There's some, you know, there's a backpack in there. There's water bottles. There's food. There's stuff everywhere. And these robots are going in and they're just cleaning the whole thing up. I think this is the future, right? I mean, this is what's going to happen if this really comes to fruition.
I think that this is something that could easily just happen just anyway. I mean, like this doesn't seem like something that needs to be unique to the Tesla CyberCab charging places. Like this could be car washes
everywhere.
Yeah. This should be a service that, you know, that employers could offer in parking garages or something like that, you know,
or superchargers.
Yeah, or a supercharger
vehicle
locations.
And have an optional, you know.
Exactly. If it's one arm coming out of the side, yeah, just, you know, they have to rebuild the supercharger so somebody else can't come in and like grab something while you're away from it. But, you know, I think that it's a great automation that I remember back when Tesla showed off their little creepy snake charging thing, which was supposed to be open the charge port and actually plug into it. And then they stopped doing it. I'm like, why'd they give up on that whole robotics path? And I'm imagining this is kind of where they went with it instead.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have kids. I'm sure if they're down for a challenge, we can make it work for it.
Yeah.
How many Lay's potato chips can get ground into this carpet? I don't know. Let's find out, guys.
Don't ask me how many cheesy stars I had to clean up out of the
gosh.
To prep it to trade it in.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you don't use a vacuum. You use a leaf blower. You just blow it out the other side of the car.
Just open up the doors.
No. Hook up the air compressor in the back. Just go.
Exactly. Just they should have the kids setting. Being like, okay, we get it. You know.
I wanted to – Bill just said something right now in chat. He's going back to the wheel caps. He mentions that he says, yes, I can't order the caps. I got the wheel covers at purchase, so I think it's just those who didn't. I can't even find it on the site.
Well, it'd be connected to the account, so that would make sense. Like, if you didn't take ownership of the aero covers or already had them, they would probably know.
So here's the thing. I had the original aero covers. Maybe I don't qualify because I haven't received the new ones. I'm still in, like, the recall. But they sent me the email. I was able to get the caps, even though I have the original aero covers. They did send me the email months ago stating that I am eligible and that I'm in the queue for the new ones, and I still haven't received those. So maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe that's kind of what Bill's alluding to, that the people who have taken delivery of the new covers, they're not eligible for the caps. That would make sense. Just wanted to throw that out there.
I was
just
curious if I was going to still apply, and it says that one of the three apply. You either received your Cyberwheel covers upon delivery, you've already redeemed your Cyberwheel cap kit, or three, you don't own a Cybertruck. They're on to me.
They know. They're banning you right now because they heard about the Ford Lightning.
I mean, there's a reason why I didn't say anything about officially selling it until a year later.
So last bit of nerd stuff for the Rivian, for the fleet vehicle. Looking at the charging area, so it's 100 kilowatt hour lithium ion battery pack. So it's lithium iron phosphate. So it's a heavier battery pack, which goes to the mass of the vehicle, which also helps probably limit the range. And then I'm also seeing DC charging rate up to 100 kilowatts. I mean, that's like pretty slow. That's like still like, you know, early Tesla's quote unquote supercharging days. So it's definitely designed to be a fleet vehicle, not a world touring van or something like that.
That's true. Yeah, I to be honest with you, I saw that and I got distracted and I didn't mention it. But yeah, I right when I saw the 100 kilowatt charging rate, I went, I don't know about that. That's an overnight type of thing. That's not a let's go on a long trip and stop
or charge during deliveries. And if somebody offers, you know, like the urban charger styles where it's like 72 kilowatts or something like that, that seems like what it's probably geared for.
Something we haven't, I don't think we touched on it, but speaking of van life, they might as well for the same price go get a VW van and trick that out.
How big are those?
It's just a van, like a
it's just a van. So that's more of like a actual like straight up living, you know, Grateful Dead style.
Those are pretty pricey, aren't they?
They're 70. Anywhere from 60 to 70.
It's amazing, isn't it? How 60, 70, 80,000 is like the normal price now for cars.
It's the entry level.
That is just crazy to me. I mean, I guess when I was like a teenager, it was like $20,000 cars were like normal. That was like mm-hmm. normal, $20,000 car. $30,000 car, you were going somewhere. Like you were, you mm-hmm. had a premium vehicle. $40,000, oh my gosh, you're rich.
I think growing up in Florida, the dream was just to, get a Civic or something like that, just have, get the $13,000 very base.
I was just going to say $15,000, you had some extras in it.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing Honda Civics for like back at like $12,000. And I think that it's like people have in their mind, like this discussion that people have in their mind, what certain cars should cost and what the value is and stuff. And I think that's kind of one of the things that it's our economy forces you to go through that early adopter. Okay, it's expensive. Okay, more people so they can scale. And now we're at that part where it's supposed to start scaling. So my hope is that, like with the Rivian R2 next year, and then the Rivian R3 coming right soon with it, and then, see what the finalized pricing is on it. I think that, that's the front end of this market that has been created from these vehicles. And now the back end is also like what we've seen with all the used stuff. I think that I saw a Tesla inventory that wasn't new, never delivered. So it must have been returned or something. And it was still priced slightly above what you can get now. It was like 75, but you don't get the rebate, and that's without the savings and stuff. And everything seems to be kind of falling into place because all of those electric vehicles that are now becoming second or third hand, and they still have great life in them. Normally $100,000 vehicle, somebody'd be like, oh man, I'm gonna have to worry about the engine for the next couple of years or whatever. These cars outlast that. And I think that we're going to start seeing more and more Tesla, my neighborhood, especially, like I see like P90Ds and I'm like, I know how old that is, that's the before the whole dual motor, whatever changeover. So, and those are starting to pop up all over the place. I think they're really starting to saturate.
Yeah. I think, what is the Rivian R3? Didn't they advertise it as like 30,000?
Something super low.
Close to 40.
35. Starting at 35.
Rivian R3 price. Let's see what it says. Around 37 and go end up to 47. But that's an expected two. And that's not for another 2 years.
Mm. So LJ makes a good comment. He goes, who is really scaling?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just Tesla.
I think that you've got newcomers into the market. You've got Scout, you've got, VW finally kind of catching up with all of their obligations as far as what everybody thought they were going to do with electric vehicles after Dieselgate. And I think that I feel like I'm seeing more cars around me that I know are electric vehicles, and they're from manufacturers that I recognize, but I didn't necessarily know that they had an EV of that Kia type or whatever it is. And so I think that we look at EVs and we see it as a whole new classification, whereas there's a whole bunch of people who still view, I just need a car. It's a motor. Mm-hmm. It makes me go, gets me there, whatever. Oh. And so figuring out the EV lifestyle for them, they're just looking at a different car that they have to charge or refill in a different way. But that's really it. We're the ones who are kind of excitedly wanting to see a lot more out there. And I think that once people start buying them more, I think that that's when the companies will start to get the hint. Okay, we need to really put some thought into this, develop it a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, because, there's quite a few. Like the Mini Coupe has a EV as well. Volvo. Quite a few of them.
Hyundai. Yeah, Kia's got a bunch. Yeah. I mean, Hyundai, I believe. Whenever I drive around, I'm always looking at cars now. So, it just seems like there's more options from other manufacturers, and I'm glad to see that the electric vehicles that they're making don't look like absolute boring roller skates like the BMW i3 did when it first came out or any of that. Like, they made them ugly because they're like, people who want environmentally friendly cars don't give a crap about what it looks like. But no, we clearly do. The Model S proved that that's not true. So
you know what? I didn't get flipped off on the way driving down.
That must have been nice.
Feels weird.
Yeah, driving an EV, not making a lot of noise, and everybody just leaves you alone. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
It's delightful.
It's a ghost, ghost EV.
I was at a red light the other day, and a big rig was coming up on the right lane, and he was going to make a right-hand turn. And as he passed me, he just hit his horn and just... And Yeah, I knew why. And then as he passed me, I looked over at him and I could see him in his side view mirror, and he's just looking at me and he's shaking his head. Okay.
He knows what you did, okay? Yeah. He knows what a bad person you are because you're in that car. He's just, he can't believe you'd show your... So dumb.
Changing the topic a little bit and wrapping this up, I wanted to show something that's kind of something I've been excited about for a while, and it's looking like it's getting completed here. The Tesla Diner that I know we've talked about in the past, that's being built. I mean, this thing, it looks, other than the graffiti on the fencing, that thing looks like a spaceship or a space station. That's pretty cool. It's definitely different, and but
yeah,
it's
they went pretty hard into the American graffiti vibe in all of the sketchups and stuff. So I'm eager to see it. I'm eager to see it to come together like that. Because
they're going for the urban look. You know, they're just trying to be urban. You know, that's all.
I don't think they understand that that's actually a Tesla building, because I think the graffiti would have been a little bit different.
Oh, I'm sure.
There would have been balls on the side of the building.
Oh yeah, 100%. But this, you know, we've talked about it many times that has to be the future, right?
Yeah.
The charging stations for the future have to be establishments other than just I'm parking and I'm like we were talking about last week, Will. What do we do when we go charging? You know?
Yeah.
I tend to relax and take naps. But you know, places like this, you could literally just park, plug in. And within a few feet, you're inside of a restaurant or in some type of grocery store or something.
I am full on expecting either Buc-ee's or Wawa to just dominate the country when it comes time to really fully build out an EV charging destination infrastructure. Because, you know, Buc-ee's, when you think about it, and Wawa, they took the idea of you gas up your car, it takes you like 2-3 minutes. And then normally you would leave, but now they've made it so, hey, there's a whole restaurant inside. I can get brisket. I could buy jewelry if I wanted to. They have picture frames and toilets. This is awesome. And they took what should be a 3-5 minute experience and they made you drag it out to 15-20 minutes. That kind of thinking is what needs to happen to help the 40 minute charging session also like fully utilize that time, you know? I don't know what the answer is for it, because I think so many of the things that we have are based around our lifestyle and the vehicles we've driven up till this point. So I'm eager to see what it is. But I do think that like that company Rove, their charging setup, they have a car wash, they have a little supermarket. You start thinking outside of the box and eventually it's like, okay, what else could be there? Like, you know, do a little, little as you wait sushi bar or something like that. You know, things that aren't the idea of, oh, let's pile all four, everybody in the family into the car and do a drive, you know, a Norman Rockwell painting style. But it'd rather just be like, look, I'm driving to work and I have to charge my car and I want to sit down for a breakfast burrito for 20 minutes. And hey, it's fresh and new. These are the things that I'm interested in seeing starting to come from this.
I know the Buc-ee's I was at today on the way home has like 15 level 3 chargers and then another 10 level 4 chargers, as well as Mercedes chargers, all at the one Buc-ee's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the time I visited Rove, and and they have sushi there.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I think that, you know, most people say gas station sushi, and they're like, oh my god, but charging station sushi, like let's make that a thing, or you know, charging station coffee shop, or I don't know, all the you know, exactly, a whole shopping area. You know, and it's just, I think that the needs of people have become so much more mobile. Maybe we are always more mobile. And for a while we were sold the idea that you're going to own a house and settle down and stuff. But we're all traveling people. We're always on the move, it seems. So, you know, like this is great. This is like put a real supermarket in a gas station. Don't make it just energy drinks and you know, and whatever, tall boys. Like actually have some stuff that you're like, hey, I want to go in there and buy some fresh freaking fruit. If somebody said you can go get some fresh fruit at the gas station right now, would you do it? If someone's like, "Dad, the Exxon station, they got some fresh fruit out."
No,
you know, that's what they're fighting. You know, but seeing these companies innovate, it's great.
Okay, LJ just hit it on the head. Oh my gosh, LJ, he says that there needs to be a Waffle House. at one of these places. That right there.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, okay. I'll do you one more because
I wouldn't charge at home anymore. I charge exclusively at that
LG. Place. I got you beat. What we do is we start our own charging station. It's the world's first Waffle House and strip club.
Okay. That would be a very popular
24
but
hours.
Would be there. I'm there for like 20, 30 minutes. So it's like, that's a couple of dances, whatever. You know, you've got time to enjoy yourself and then get back on the road, you know, and then hit some waffles and then get out of there.
And probably the most important thing is that you already know security is going to be there. So,
yes. Yeah. You know, everyone's already watching the cars too.
you know, you're good.
We should get Elon on the show. That's why we can pitch him on all these ideas, put him all over California.
So I already know what the thumbnail for this podcast episode is going to be. I'm going to need AI to help me out with this. But I'm going to do
Waffle House and strip club.
Waffle House, strip club, charging station. There we go.
I love it.
And we're there.
I was going to say, can we end off this week on the fact that Rihanna's trying to get Kim Kardashian and all the Kardashians banned from the Met Gala? There's our Kim Kardashian update for the last several months. Trying to get her banned.
It's been a while since you've given us some insight on Kim. But yeah. Real quick, Jonathan. So Jonathan's in chat. He says waffles and thighs. Yes, please.
Hell yeah, bro. Man, copyright that tale. That shit. Waffles and thighs. Name two greater things.
And you know what? Just because I'm a nice guy, we'll do the podcast live every Wednesday there. So,
oh, hell yeah.
But just for the show, for content. So,
I try to generate an image from Grok, and I think it's very confused.
It's like, bro, it's are you okay? If it gives you the suicide hotline warning, then you're like, I really don't.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate everybody for joining us this week. Hugo, LJ, Jay, Bill, Jonathan. Jonathan, thank you for chiming in with your waffles and thighs. And so appreciate everybody for joining us this week. Thank you so much. Will, Chase, see you guys next week.
Later.